tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good evening, AfterBuzzers! We are here at the AfterBuzz TV studio discussing everything American Horror Story. I'm your host for the evening, David Scipolotti, joined by the beautiful and talented Sarah Hogan.
Hello.
Zelena Jordan.
Hey.
And Pegarad.
Hi, everyone.
We are discussing tonight, Season 5, Episode 3, titled Mommy.
Mommy.
I'm in a very weird mood, you guys.
I love it.
It's so late.
We're starting half an hour late tonight. For those of you not watching live, we normally start taping at 10:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it is now 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Sorry for a little loopy.
Got the drop top.
But,
we don't have the money for that.
Nope.
Dive into the episode, right?
Let's dive right in, you guys. What did you guys think? Initial thoughts of the overall episode so far. It's episode 3. What are we thinking?
It was sexy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't.
We're getting into the meat of the story and also getting meat in all sense of the word. So
don't
I'm
look
on
at
David me. Was particularly turned on.
And say meat. One more time.
I'm all about it. Because I was kind of apprehensive for episode 1, and now I'm like, okay, this is going to be a really
get
good
where
season.
It's going. I can do that.
Tell me about it. I'm sorry. It's just such a sexy episode, and you're in that latex dress.
I was glad, and I don't want to jump around, but I knew it was going to be like a particularly sad episode. I knew by the title, and what I wanted to happen happened much later than I wanted it to happen. We will talk about it. But
we will talk about it.
I thought it was going to be just super creepy because of the title,
Mommy,
and it delivered.
Really?
Yeah.
What's interesting is that
kids are creepy.
Yeah, but it's not all about little kids. There's a lot of mommy issues happening.
Oh, yeah. There's mommy issues for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where my mind went when I saw the title.
Me too.
By the way, I do have to say, the reason that I'm wearing my pleather dress
Please
is because it is a little reference to Rubber Man of Season 1. If you're listening, I'm wearing a Rubber Man dress.
Rubber Man dress.
For those of you not on the tube of use.
She is.
It's pretty sexy.
And it is glorious.
Glorious.
It is glorious.
Because now this season is starting to be more like Murder House, I think.
It's getting there. And the interesting thing that I think that I'm starting to realize about the bigger differences between Murder House and Hotel, as far as the ghosts go, is that the ghosts in Hotel are stuck there because they have unfinished business.
Right.
And the ghosts in Murder House were stuck there without a choice.
Well, I was going to say, though, we did get a little bit of... that's interesting that you said unfinished business, because they did talk about that. I don't think that's clear yet, whether they're there because they have unfinished business or not.
No, they flat out said it in this episode, that that's why they haunt the halls, is if they have unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and he just said that's the difference, like, if between Murder House and...
As far as the ghosts go.
Yeah.
No, but, like... Anyway, okay, I don't want to take up too much time on it, but I felt like all ghosts have unfinished business. That's why they're around. Like, there's no ghosts without unfinished business.
Yeah.
I guess that's legit.
Yeah. Right?
No, but the ghosts in Murder House were stuck there because they died there.
Right, but these ghosts still have unfinished business, whether it's there or with the people that are in the hotel or what. They still have unfinished
I think that's
business.
What David's saying, is that the difference is that in Murder House, they don't have unfinished business.
They don't have...
It's that they were physically trapped in that location
because
where they died.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But here,
sorry,
it's
I misunderstood
less...
you. I thought you said they didn't have unfinished business.
We're all on the same page.
We're all on the same boat.
Like
Maybe
I said,
not.
It's like
a boat to hell.
Speaking of boats to hell, Gabriel made a return tonight.
Yes, he did.
And
in
then,
the most messed up way possible.
I'm still so confused as to what
the
is going on
is?
In that bed.
Yeah.
What happens is you get drilled to death, and then you are in the mattress until you come out to then attack somebody else, apparently.
Meat?
Meat. It's all meat. Meat your meat. So,
but what Gabriel, happens to him now?
So Gabriel jumps out of the bed. He stabs Claudia to death, ends up at St. Vincent's.
Thinking it was Sally.
He thought he was killing Sally, which makes absolutely no sense because Sally's white.
It makes really sense. White. He's disoriented. I mean, in his mind, I think this was a direct jump where he was pulled into the mattress from the situation of his thing. And so he's been locked in this kind of purgatory.
And time distortion a little bit.
Now, his only way to get out, he thinks that it's all sequential time. He doesn't know that so much time has passed. So in his mind, we've gone straight from here, and now there's just some other girl in the bed, and he wasn't expecting it.
It's not just some other girl. It's Naomi Campbell.
Claudia. Which I'm glad she bit the dust. I'm sorry.
I'm kind of like, whatever.
I mean, she'll probably still be around.
She's still around. We saw her at the end of the episode.
The question is Gabriel going to be around as a ghost?
He died at the hospital.
Okay.
He flatlined.
They said.
Right, he flatlined.
Right, he flatlined.
They never said dead.
So, yeah, maybe we didn't see them revive
him. But they kept saying, who was he? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think there's any guarantees when it comes
his
to that
IMDb
kind of stuff.
His IMDb says 3 episodes, so I feel like he's dead.
You can never really go about IMDb.
Yeah, that's true, because they would keep things.
That's true.
Yeah, because sometimes they forget to upload, or sometimes it's not like...
Or sometimes it's trickery on purpose.
Well, because I feel like there's a lot to be explained. I mean, he kept, like, blaming it on Sally, and, like, we didn't really get, like... I don't know, it wasn't really focused around them as a couple, or not as a couple, like, together as a couple, but, like, the storyline wasn't really focused, that much focused on them, so I feel like if it's done now, it was kind of like,
Yeah.
If that's
like,
true.
If that's, like, if he's like there's gotta be more there. Like,
yeah, I'd be like, what was the whole point of him?
I guess to kill Claudia?
I guess to show the junkie cycle that they have of, like... You know, that
like
seems to be,
them in and,
and having like the whole hotel, the mattress is a microcosm for addiction where you get sucked in and you're stuck in your own perception of reality that then messes with actual reality and then just leads to a snowball effect of bad.
I guess I'm just surprised that it came out that quickly.
Ew. Oh my God, you guys.
I'm delirious.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. I'm with you. That actually makes a lot of sense. And who's to say that the mattress isn't going to come to play again?
Yeah. Well, the mattress is definitely coming into play again.
I'm just like confused as to what happens in the mattress. I want the perspective of the person in the mattress.
Like well, them being
just
zipped.
A little bit.
Well, and I also think that... Sorry.
Go ahead.
Address, I was going to say, well, it doesn't really have to do with the mattress, but I was going to say after watching, like, not being here last week and watching the episode from last week, like, there's definitely something, like, that Mr. March was, like, feeding down in the... like the, what was it called? Like the chute, you know, how they were like, it seems like they're like feeding, like, I don't know if it's like a throwback
like
to Asylum.
Or something?
I mean, would you really call that an animal? I don't know. But like, there definitely is something about that chute and like what goes down there because one of those guys was like one of the guys in the mattress.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like there's,
interesting.
There's a lot happening there, so
there
I don't
is
know.
A lot
I don't
happening.
Think we've seen the last of people in mattresses, that's for sure.
Let's hope not.
No.
But speaking of mattresses and Mr. March.
And meat.
Yeah. And meat.
Oh my gosh.
Talk about
Tristan
him.
Goes back to Mr. March tonight and talks to him about how he is down with murdering people. To put it plainly. He's like, I see what you're talking about. Killing is awesome. Let's do this together. I googled you.
He's like, ooh, that sounds
hot. That sounds obscene.
Obscene, yeah.
It was such a good scene. And the thing that I took from that scene, and I don't know if you guys caught it as well as that, but Mr. March put such importance on his black closet and showing it to us. I mean, yeah, he mentioned all the other things. And yeah, we saw glimpses of them, but he showed us the black closet. So what is so important about that closet?
I think it's just his favorite murder device. Like, it's its own Iron Maiden that he has built into the hotel.
Yes.
Maybe we're going to see.
I mean, he does say that there's so many things in his, like, murder palace that haven't been used for so long that mm-hmm. he wants to get back into action. And you're the man to do it, Tristan.
He's probably foreshadowing a gruesome killing coming up soon in that closet.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah.
But he also mentioned the acid pit, which I was like, how do you even do that? Because if you pour acid in it, doesn't it just burn up whatever it's in? I don't know.
Isn't that the point, though?
No, but I'm saying, like, the actual container.
Oh, I need made to see this something. Pit. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you will.
Like, what isn't corroded by acid?
Yeah.
Porcelain?
Titanium?
Something
steel?
Like that.
Something, like, strong.
I'm sure it's nothing. Like
Superman's
I'm sure the things that he's hiding are nothing that we can even imagine.
Well, I mean, that black closet was pretty gruesome.
Yeah. Which is crazy that these characters are based off of existing
real
characters
people.
From history,
right.
Which is...
But there's so many. I mean, it's... And, yeah. I mean, but I feel like they're all, like, a hodgepodge of different people. Like, none of them, like, fit each serial killer to a T. You know what I mean? Like, they
well,
are...
Yeah.
You know
I mean,
what I mean?
Mr. March is definitely...
A combination
of a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For sure. But I think the other serial killers that are going to be showing up are based off of...
Right, of course.
Factual
yeah.
people.
Yeah, Mr. March is a lot. But in a way that, like, we've seen that before. Like, we saw it in Murder House, and, like, I was going to get into it later. But, like, yeah, like, that kind of, like, killing. I mean, yes, it was, like, very gruesome and stuff. But, like, we've seen, like, a type of killer like that in American Horror Story before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm,
for the
sure.
combination killer is what you're talking about?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'll get into it later. I don't want to jump around.
I'd like you to get into it now, because I'm getting...
You would?
This. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Ugh. I
Explain
was just gonna
yourself.
Say, well, because I was going to say, like, he's not, like, a combination killer. Like, the way he does things is pretty...
No, not the way he does things, but who he is as
who
a
he
person.
Is, yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know, like, a specific, like... couple of people that he is all in one. Like, I'm
right.
not gonna, like, do that and be wrong and, like, you know, have everyone get mad. But I'm not gonna, like, point out names. But I'm just saying, like, when you think about the other people, I just don't think there's anything that's that particularly unique about, like, he's not John Wayne Gacy. He's not,
well,
like,
there was a serial killer that's hailed as the first serial killer.
We did talk about
right.
him
yeah.
last week.
Right.
J. Holmes.
I did watch. Right. I did watch that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's, like, more basic. And obviously this is, like, kind of, like, spun off from that. But, like, you know, Ryan Murphy's take on that.
Right.
I don't know. We don't have to dwell on it. It's not pertinent to the story. So let's
okay.
just go on.
That's fine. I mean, I just thought it was interesting.
I just don't think, like, that the way, like, he wasn't that shocking. What I'm trying to say is he wasn't that shocking of a serial killer to me. Like, I wasn't like, oh my God, it was very bloody and very gruesome, like, especially last week. But I wasn't like, these killings are like things I've never seen before in my life. Like, no, like, it's pretty standard serial killer 101. Like, especially if you're like, to me.
You.
Well, no, but I've watched a lot of stuff like that, you know?
No, I agree. I'm with you. I mean, I'm not saying that anything that he's done has been or will be out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
I just thought that he was putting a lot of importance on certain things.
Right. And I feel like, though, every serial killer, like, they're, well, not every, but a lot of them are charismatic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, yeah, they're like ladies' men. They're, mm-hmm. you know, usually a lot of them are very unsuspecting. They could be, like, well-to-do. Like, they're mm-hmm. not, like, you know, the typical person. I don't
Ted
even
Bundy.
Know what you would think. Right.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. They're very,
the sociopath
you know,
who.
Yeah. Even, like, Jeffrey Dahmer was, like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. definitely a charismatic guy. So I feel like he kind of just fit all of them.
I just love the way how he is hiding all of these bodies in this hotel that has so many people coming in and out of it. And they also said something about how back when he was created, when the hotel was being built, he would fire and hire contractors all the time so that one person wouldn't see the full blueprint of the hotel to mm-hmm. be able to see where the chutes and the hidden closets or whatever was.
And we sort of saw that tonight.
Exactly.
When Will Drake tried to get the plans or the original blueprint of the hotel
mm-hmm.
and what he was seeing wasn't matching what is actually there.
Exactly.
I love
that. So they're
that.
Taking, like, these real bits. I love it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I also just love all things Evan Peters, so I'm all about it.
I mean, he's blowing my mind
he
this
really
year.
Is. I do have to say, Finn, who plays Tristan, when he was Dandy, I was just like, oh, I can never see him as anything else after Freak Show. And now he's smoking hot. I was like, way to go, American Horror Story. Making him like...
He is like...
I have opposite opinions about
really?
That.
Really? Oh, he was such a creepy little... demon played, child in Freak Show, and now...
I agree that he's a completely different character. I don't agree... There was a moment where I thought that, like, he was going to be more in it than Matt was, like, than Donovan, and I was very upset about that, because I would rather all day look at Matt Bomer any day than Tristan. All day, every day.
Yeah, me too. Matt Bomer is definitely
hot.
But you can't deny the fact that tonight, when we saw Tristan... Go for Will Drake.
You that, put your hand on my leg and you were literally flipping out.
Well, because you didn't think he was gay.
Right. Okay. David was scared that he wasn't gay. He was actually sad about it.
Please don't put words in my mouth.
Okay. Say your piece.
My piece is that Will Drake hadn't... His sexuality hadn't come into question until this episode.
Right, he had a kid.
Right, and he had a kid. And I was just confused about it.
Right, and you even, like,
because
I mean, you were very, very disturbed by it. You were like, wait, I need to know. You needed to know answers. You had questions, you needed answers.
Yeah, I wanted answers, but I wouldn't say I was disturbed.
And you got the best Radio. Answer. Like,
and
straight
I got
up,
the
he's
best
like,
answer.
I'm gay. And you're like,
yeah. Yes! You were like, I knew it!
None of that happened.
It happened.
You people are making me seem like a psychopath.
He had a celebration.
And I am not.
A solo celebration.
No.
We opened some champagne.
Just kidding.
It's fine.
I mean, it's okay.
We paused and cheered.
It's okay, guys. But that scene, I do have to say, that was super hot.
It was very hot. I feel like
this has been, like, I put it was the, like, it's been the bloodiest season, but it's also been
the sexiest.
Such a sexy season. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, ooh, you're like, how far is this going to go? Like,
and I love that this season is so much about the duality of, like, murder, but also using sex to get what you want. Because it's something that we haven't seen so far in American Horror Story. And it's most prevalent with the Countess, who is looking for love in all the wrong places.
Literally.
I mean, she's thinking that she's going to marry Will for his money.
I don't think that's too far-fetched. I think she's been doing this for years. I think she had... You know, she explained how she lost all of her funds.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if she knows that she is this immortal, gorgeous creature that's going to stay beautiful through all the years, she uses that as a tool, as like a means to an end. So now she can be both beautiful and immortal and rich and powerful.
I have a question. Do you think that Will Drake was actually turned on by her? Or do you think that she used
out,
her powers? Like her...
Her like...
I think
you know,
she was.
Erotic powers?
No, like how she can like look into an eye and like kind of pull someone and control them.
But
how
I think
she did
you
with...
can do that like in real life too. You know what I mean? Like there's like, I don't know, like ways of being like sexy and like obviously like she plays like games and stuff. My big question with that whole thing is we've never seen her leave the hotel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have.
Oh,
yes,
yeah. So it was her introduction.
Yeah.
Was she
to
left?
The movie.
Oh, right. They went to the movie, but she doesn't leave often. I'm just very like
she
confused.
Went to,
I'm very concerned.
The LACMA.
Right.
She goes out for the hunt.
She goes out a lot.
She goes out for the hunt. Not a lot. She goes out for the hunt, but like. I'm confused about they're like, you can be in sun, but, like, you shouldn't be in it often. Like, I'm very confused about their rules. I know, like, the, like, vampire situation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very confused about that whole thing. Like, I need that. I need clear rules established. Because I didn't understand when she said, and, I mean, you guys said it to me. You guys explained it to me because I asked you when she was like, oh, I need to marry him. And I was like, why does she need money? Like, it doesn't seem like she's, like, going out and eating and shopping and, like, she's in that hotel most of the time. Like, I just didn't really understand why she needed money.
One, like a power. She would need money because she lives in our society. Mm-hmm. So despite the fact that she doesn't eat, she does like art, which is something that they talked about.
Right.
Is that she loves buying art. She loves clothes, clearly. Mm-hmm. So she does go shopping, even if we don't see her going shopping. I mean, because who wants to watch an American Horror Story episode where Lady Gaga goes shopping.
I mean, maybe.
I'm just saying. I'd be all about it as well. Of her trying things on. I'm like, okay.
I'm just throwing out some questions. I mean, I've watched a lot of vampire shows. I'm just confused. And I know that, like, there was, like, I mean, I know they are referred to them now as vampires, and but they weren't at the beginning. Like,
I do have to say, I called it episode one.
Well, right. But, like, I mean, it was pretty obvious that they were. Like, and I think that it's confusing to me. And I know this isn't going to be popular amongst people, but, like, it's confusing to me that there's, like, no clear rules. It's like, well, what's happening here? Like, are you alive? Are you... Obviously, you are, like, immortal to some extent, but then, like, later we see...
See, I like it. I read... Immortal. Actually, this is weird that I studied vampires, but there's a book called The Science of Vampires. Mm-hmm. And there are... Because it all started from rabies, how the idea
Like
of vampires...
Virus, yes, like,
actual rabies. It increases sexual... Like, it's hypersexuality. You can't look at... If you get rabies, you can't look at yourself in a mirror. People freak out. That's where that came from. That's where the bite... That's how that... Like, the transfer. So it all goes back to the basic rules. Yeah, the science of vampires.
Look at that.
And so if you read the book, it has kind of what these were all based off of. And because the people who would die from rabies... And rabies infection, most of the time were buried in very cold climates. They would be dug up later on, and then it would look like they hadn't aged and they hadn't decomposed.
Interesting.
So that's where that idea came from. So I feel like this is Ryan Murphy's take on it. But because we've seen so many incarnations, like the Twilight sparkly vampires and the
True Blood,
you know, the,
and
the
vampires,
these kind of go
Blade.
Back to the basic rules of like pure vampirism,
right.
Where
vampirism.
You can still die. You can still be killed, but unless you have external forces, if you take care of yourself, then your external whatever is still... Yeah, you seem somewhat immortal, but you still have the hypersexuality, all of the other kind of elements of the core vampire.
I think like what the confusion is happening, because it's also happening with me a little bit, is that we have been so inundated with vampire lore, and for the most part, most stories that are out there tend to follow the same rules. Like, stake to the heart, garlic is sometimes used, sometimes not. Mm-hmm. The sun is usually, like, one of those things that they can't really go in the sun, except in Twilight they sparkle.
But I love that Gaga has the clawed nails, too. Because that's another reason that they said vampires is because your nails and hair grow even after you die. So when they would dig these people up, they would have these long, crazy nails. And they were saying, this is how they're killing people. They're cutting people with their nails. And so I love that that's part of it. I think
thank you for sharing that. I mean, I definitely can see how, like, that would inspire something like this, for sure. Because I was just like, wait, what? I'm like, why does she want to marry him? But that makes sense.
She's a modern woman.
And maybe for the hotel, too.
Yeah.
She just wants to own the hotel.
It's one of those things that she lost.
She can't have all the dudes. Yeah. I mean, what the heck?
Well, she lost the hotel, as we saw in, what, the 80s it was, or the 90s, to Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention to the time, and I'm too young to know those things.
Oh, yeah, you're so young.
I'm younger than you.
By, like, 1 month, BTW.
Younger is younger.
Jokes anyway. On all you guys. I'm 197. That's how I know all these things.
Oh, well then. Definitely younger than you.
Who's our next... Or can we talk about Ramona's entrance?
I would love to talk about Ramona. Okay, so last week, I thought that she was going to be some sort of vampire hunter that had the cure for the virus.
Why did you think that?
Come to find out, because I remember seeing the blood being filtered.
Yeah.
And I thought that she was, like, curing the virus, because it was referred to as a virus.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
But come to find out, she's Lady Gaga's ex-lover.
Now enemy.
Now mortal enemy.
Well, and you thought she turned her for a
At first I thought she turned her. Because I was like, of course the person who turned Gaga would be a woman who's like more beautiful than what's his face.
How is
Donovan.
That
but then it ends up being the opposite.
It ends up being the opposite.
She, but I also love that she has that whole
Foxy Brown
side note. Yeah. Yes, it's amazing.
It was pretty great.
It was pretty great. And watching them in the elevator go through like the different times, like,
I love that.
Awesome. That was awesome. Showing was the fierce. Fashion, they do such a good job of showing off.
Shout out to Michelle Zaglia on that hair, and the makeup is like killer. Phenomenal. I mean, they costumes. Like. Constantly. Like,
I will
it's
say
insane.
Too. I think Ramona's character, because I know a lot of people kind of had issues with this being set in Los Angeles again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now it makes more sense. These are people who were trying to get in the entertainment business, and I think this is kind of a play off the Hotel California of, you know, falling into the addiction, into the you're an actor, but then now you're sucked into the immortal life of never growing, of
chasing
staying
youth.
In the same, yeah, chasing yeah. youth, but staying stagnant. And so I think her character kind of makes it go more full circle, where that wouldn't have worked in another city.
I agree.
Yeah.
That is very true. Very, very true.
And I did love that they did, because remember last week, and I have to say this, when the Countess said that she loved the 70s, and that was, like, when she met Ramona. Like, so, like, I liked that. I don't know. I really liked that whole 70s.
But then it's the whole going off the mommy thing again. Technically, the Countess is Ramona's vampire mom. She
right.
is the creator. Mm-hmm. So then all of it ties into the title of the episode of this mother... love, hate.
Also, it ties in with Ramona's plan, where she wants to get rid of the children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like,
why the children?
Because
we still have not been explained as to what the importance of these
kids
is.
Well, because she said, hold on, I wrote down, she had like a good line. Like,
Tell me.
She said something, hold on, wait. Sorry, it was towards the end.
She said
those
that?
Babies she made is
right.
what she said.
Yeah, we know that she made them.
I know, but I thought that was an interesting use of words. Those babies she made. Because we know about Holden, we don't know like exactly, like, I mean, how she got, like, we haven't seen her like get him or kidnap him or what exactly transpired there. We know she has him, but we don't know about the other children.
No.
Right, but I just... I thought that was an interesting choice of words. I don't know. I mean...
We know that...
Okay.
She drinks their innocent, pure blood.
Right.
Right.
But what else do they do for her?
Right. Exactly. That's where my question comes in.
They sit in that room and they play games
she's
all day.
Like,
Ramona also
with them.
Mentions
yeah.
that, you know, because the whole storyline is that when Ramona falls in love with Mo and then is... turns him into a vampire as well, mm-hmm. and then Countess kills off everyone in the recording studio. She leaves the hotel again to go to the recording studio,
oh, right.
kills
that's
them
true.
All
that's true.
And then
that's
kills
true.
Him as well, because there can only be one queen, there can only be one creator, and her creations can't create something else. So it's kind of the one alpha mom.
Right.
And it's almost like the sibling rivalry of you created me, but you've created these, and these are now your children, and these are the pure, innocent whatever
yeah.
that you know will never leave you, that you know will never have those desires and urges that could potentially lead them away from her. They're forever young. They're forever dependent on her.
True. The one thing that I'm going to disagree with is that I feel like the Countess killed everybody, including Mo, because she was heartbroken. And that's why she says, don't fall in love.
Mm.
Because she's completely heartbroken. And I feel like, in her truest essence, she may be a lesbian and uses men to her advantage.
I think she just transcends any sort of sexuality.
Yeah, exactly. I think anything.
Yeah. But I think that's part of why the kids offer for her... they play the role of she'll never fall in love with these children. It's a purely maternal thing where, you know, we've seen when she falls in love with Ramona and they're a couple, and even with Donovan, and we see this dynamic of the sexuality brought into it, that's never an issue with the children. So the children always remain, they'll never leave her.
Mm.
And we see, you know, with Iris and with all these things of the idea of your children leaving you.
Mm-hmm.
And so these babies are most precious to her because they they're nothing without her. They're completely dependent on her.
Right. What's weird to me, though, is that I agree with that, but yet we never see maternal moments with her and the children.
I think that is her version of maternal, is I'll give you whatever you want. There are lots of moms like that go, here's a bunch of candy and video games.
I know, but I love you. We've seen very limited interaction with her and any of the kids, which is interesting to me.
That's true. I do want to move on, though, because we have been talking about this for a little while.
Yeah. Got it.
And I do want to come back to it later because Sarah has a little tidbit for news and gossip.
Oh, yeah.
Which can sort of play into that later. So we will come back to it towards the end of the show.
Okay.
But I do want to talk about Donovan and his sort of tortured soul and what's going on with him and him now not having a place to live and not having any friends. And he said he's got a 20-year age gap in his resume and he can't go out and get a job. And
Donovan wants a job.
Mommy issues.
Donovan needs to support himself. He's a modern man in a modern world, and so he needs money.
My heart broke a little bit when he was just going off on Iris about how horrible of a mother she is. I felt for her.
But I feel like that's how those issues work. I don't want to get too personal, but I know someone who, he's like a mama's boy, serious, but he doesn't even get his, mother a card on Mother's Day.
How dare you bring up my shit on live YouTube?
Stop, but I'm just saying, and we saw towards the end, you know, he was so mean to her, but when he thought she was dying, he was like, oh my God, no. It's a very weird codependent situation, you know?
It's all he has now.
Yeah.
Well, they always say, you hurt the ones you love the most.
Right.
And yes, he's pushing her away, and says, quote unquote, I've hated you my entire life, and that's why I did cocaine and heroin and meth or whatever it was.
I wonder what his dad looks like.
Ooh.
Well, clearly he was a jerk, and he didn't see the side that his mother saw.
Correct.
It's like, you can hate your mom, that's fine, whatever, act up, but don't tell her to go kill herself. Go die.
But I think he didn't.
It was a little, little aggressive.
Yeah,
it was.
He's a pretty dramatic guy, so I think he goes to the extreme, but I don't think he actually meant it.
No,
but it wasn't until Liz Taylor kind of points out, you'll always have somebody who, will make you laugh more than they make you sad. You'll have somebody that you love more. You'll have somebody that makes you smile. You'll have that will have all of these new shiny qualities, but none of them will love you the way that she does.
Right.
And it wasn't until he kind of took that, which I think, again, a microcosm for LA is the shiny, the new, the bright.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you're grounded in some sort of family or some sort of sense of family, you're going to go off the rails. And when he kind of realizes where she said she doesn't know who she is without him if she's not his mother, I think it was in that moment that he realized he doesn't know who he is unless he is her son.
Right. Mm-hmm. And an interesting turn of events, he turns her. Or we think.
Or we
don't know yet.
We don't know yet, but he tries to.
But what's Gaga going to think about that? Because you can't create.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, back to this point, I don't think that she was upset that Ramona turned somebody. I think it's that Ramona turned somebody because she loved him.
Right. And she said she thought she was in love with the Countess or Gaga, but she really loved Mo.
Exactly. And so I think that's why she killed everybody in the studio, and including him, shot him in the head, because she knew that Ramona was going to leave her.
Right.
I don't think she'll necessarily care that Iris has been turned, because she's already kicked Donovan to the curb.
Right.
But I don't know, because she has that whole power struggle.
Right, but Iris isn't threatening her power struggle.
At all.
But I think Donovan saying, I have the power to give new life to something else, whereas she was the mother, she was the creator.
Right.
It's more of an ego thing.
Yeah.
I am the queen.
Yeah.
Right.
But let me pose this question to you. Ramona decided to leave the Countess and created life, and that which was taken away from her. Donovan was kicked to the curb, basically, and said, go, start a life of your own. Do you think that she'll be upset that he's now creating his own family?
That he literally started a life of his own?
Exactly. I mean, does she have the right to be upset that she's now said, take your shit, get out of my house, basically. And now that's exactly what he's doing. He's taking his shit, he's getting out of his out of her house, and he's going to get his own with his mama. What would be the problem
maybe
with that?
If they leave the hotel.
They're not going to.
Or even if they stay.
I'm like, they're not going.
What right does she have to actually kick him out? She doesn't own it anymore.
What right does she have to go and stab people at movies because she wants to? You know, I think it's just she has the right to do whatever she wants because she's the countess.
Sure.
You know? I don't know.
I mean, I will do anything for love, but I won't do that. I told you I had a song in my heart earlier.
That was an amazing moment in time.
Thank you so much. I think the more interesting storyline as the season goes along, and what I spoke about with Sarah earlier this evening before we even arrived to the gorgeous new AfterBuzz TV studios, was the John and Alex storyline. As much as it is the most quote-unquote normal that is happening, that we're getting to experience now, it is actually quite interesting.
And I got teary-eyed.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
If you have feelings.
I have lots of feelings.
I was shocked when she showed up with divorce papers. I didn't think it was going to be that quick. I mean, really? She was just out there for what?
But that is, like, when she did, I was like, okay. I mean, she obviously wasn't happy, but
she tried to kill herself.
Well, right. Well, we just found that out. Yeah. We just found that out. But I think that's, I mean, I don't know anyone who's been through that, but, like, anything I've ever seen, like, you know, on the news and things like that, like, I mean, that's, like, a typical, I can't even imagine what that feels like, losing a child and, you know, having them be with your significant other and thinking they're safe and they're not. And, and she said she was never able to get through it.
Well, like, it's not the first time we've heard that particular story.
Correct.
Where a husband and wife lose a child and they end up separated. It's been told many, many, many times. So that's why I feel like I wasn't surprised by it. And that's why I didn't find it touching. And that's why I feel like when she saw
Holden, wasn't what I saw touching. I know. Or what I thought was touching. You didn't have any emotional reaction whatsoever?
To her seeing her son again?
Yes.
None.
I got that goosebumps all over.
Goosies everywhere. Like, and I... Yeah.
Let me explain it.
Okay, all
right. Yeah. The reason why I didn't have feelings about that is because I saw it coming.
Well, of course you saw it coming. Yeah. But, like, still, like, she had just gone through that whole explanation of how she was feeling and, like, how horrible it was for her and how she hasn't been able to get over it and, like, because he has seen her and her own daughter, Scarlett, has seen, or him, has seen Holden. Everyone in the family had seen him but her, and she said, like, she had that crazy, like, connection with him unlike anyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was so sad that she hadn't seen him yet, and I just wanted, I knew she was gonna see him, but I wanted her to see him so bad, and when she did, I was like, oh, and he was like, Mommy? Like, he didn't say Daddy, and he didn't, like, he knew Scarlett, but he was cold to everybody else.
Yeah, he had emotion with her. That's interesting.
Which, I wonder how that's going to play in with Gaga's character being the matriarch. Like, and going off of what you said of how she felt betrayed because Ramona loved someone else more than her. Whereas Holden and Alex clearly have this deep connection which also, I feel bad for Scarlett that her mom is just flat out like, I love the other kid a lot more than you, more than your dad, and shush, I'm mad at you.
Well, he was the first, so I feel, I don't know.
As a first child, I'll say, okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah, my mom loves my brother way more than me. Just
David,
kidding.
David, how
mom,
do you?
Mom, I love you.
What?
How do you feel? Do you think your mom loves your brother? Does she love Anthony more than you?
Anthony?
Your brother.
My brother's name is not Anthony.
It isn't?
Nope.
Oh. Ooh.
What is it?
I'm not going to say it because I don't want you people creeping on him. But I wouldn't... I don't feel comfortable talking about that.
Oh my gosh, so it's true.
No, I don't think it's true at all. I just don't think that it's appropriate to be discussing that.
Yeah, the whole thing is that parents always say they don't have a favorite. They love all
children. They always have a favorite.
Yeah. But they never admit it. And so for her to overtly say...
Well, she admitted it to herself. It's not like she went around saying, like, Holden, I love you so much more than I love you, Scarlett.
But John even says, I know that you loved Holden even more than me, more than Scarlett. It's... it's an apparent thing that I think even Scarlett picks up on, which I think is the real, that was when I got the feels, was mm-hmm. I felt bad for Scarlett more so than the connection when Alex sees Holden again.
I think I didn't feel anything when that happened because I haven't started to really like that character that much yet. It's only episode 3, and as far as I'm concerned, I don't really like Alex.
I mean, I don't like her. I just think that
And so, like, her seeing her son for the first time again, even though she's explained, like, oh, I had such a connection with him, and he smelled like lavender, and it was the only drug I ever needed, and he's the one person I've loved more than I've ever loved anybody else, even more than my husband. I don't care.
What did you think about all the... There was a lot of olfactory things for mm-hmm. this. It was all very smell-based. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting, but I couldn't quite place why it was so heavy on lavender.
Well, if you think about, I don't know why lavender specifically, but smell is one of those things that always takes you back.
Triggers a memory,
and it always triggers a memory. So if there's some, you can walk into a room and if it smells like your grandma, even though she's passed, you know, it's always something that you're going to remember.
But I wonder, though, like, and this might be, like, a fan question, like, if lavender is significant to...
Might be.
Something, yeah. I don't know.
Might be.
I know lavender is beautiful calming. But poisonous, uh-huh. and so that might be yeah. part of the whole...
Isn't lavender night blooming?
Lavender, no, it's, all, look it's up. All day.
I know, is it? Or like...
Yeah.
Okay.
All day?
Like, I am like an lavender all day, all night.
Yeah, I did.
24/7.
It is the storyline.
And
that's
like the heart of the story.
Yeah,
like it's,
that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. It's like it is going to be the A storyline, it seems like, for the arc of this particular part of the season, at least up until the mid-season finale.
Do we think that Alex is going to tell John that she saw Holden? Because John hasn't told Alex.
No, but he does have this breakdown this episode where he says that he thinks he's seeing things and he doesn't know what's going on.
Sure.
And we find out he's not an addict and he's just doing it to himself because he has control issues.
But he is almost
but
addicted.
He does
he's
seem
addicted
like an addict to me.
Wanting to, not necessarily to a drug, but is an addict for knowing the situation. He's a,
right.
Yeah, control freak.
He is a control freak.
But also... He's addicted to the idea of solving all of these puzzles because he's
right.
a detective. So when he has his own puzzle, it becomes less of an addiction, I think more of an obsession.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we see kind of how you can be addicted not only to a drug, but to a person, like with the Countess,
right.
or to a philosophy, I think, with John. So I think it kind of explores all the different levels of addiction to different degrees.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Maybe.
You're so smart. Sometimes you say things and my eyes just glaze over because I don't even know what you're talking about. And then I just go, sure.
I don't know if that's necessarily smart or just rambly.
Right.
I think.
No,
maybe it's a little bit of both, but just know when I go, sure. I didn't hear a word you said.
That's great.
Except for meat.
Yeah. I'm like, welcome to my everyday. That's all anybody hears.
Meat? I love it. I think that is everything for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've missed a whole bunch of things, but...
Let us know.
I think we're good.
I'm like, let us
speak.
Know.
I was going to say, I like that they also kind of dove into the concept of aging. And they say, you know, when you're young, everyone's funny when they're young. And then you get older and you wonder why people don't laugh anymore. And then later Iris says, I just don't get the joke anymore. I am the joke. And I think that kind of parallel of aging and now losing the joy in life as you get older, immediately foiled by... against a never-aging character and seeing them get older but not actually aging. I don't know. I just thought it was a really interesting parallel.
We've dealt with that a lot.
Sure.
Like, I was going to say, no. Don't just say sure. In Coven and stuff, we
wasn't
dealt...
talking to you.
Okay, but I'm just saying...
His eyes have glazed over yet again when I speak.
But I was thinking when he said that, I thought I was really moved by that, too, and I thought of, like, a story that I had told, like, in the Coven season. But I was thinking, like, yeah, we have seen that a lot, like, in, within, like, the seasons, like, the whole thing of aging and how, even, like, in Coven, it was, like, how women are perceived, you know, as they get older and, like, you know, how, like, as you're, when you're, like, a young woman, everyone's, like, looking at you, but, like, when you're an older woman, you can still be smoking hot, but, like, there's a difference, you know what I mean? So I thought that that was cool that it was the same concept, just in a different...
Packaged in a different way.
And seeing all these different characters reflect on it. I mean, I think for all the different things, even their perspective on murder, when we see Sally say, you know, the Ten Commandments, when she does the reference to the Ten Commandment killer, and she says, oh, that is... That commandment's written wrong. It shouldn't be thou shalt not kill. It's thou shalt not murder. Mm-hmm. Killing can be righteous. And so seeing all these different perspectives of these killers, what's a killer versus a murderer versus what is age, what is, you know,
beauty,
just,
yeah,
what is beauty, what are all these things? It's all these just...
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And we haven't figured it all out yet.
Still a big old
There's
puzzle.
There's so much that is happening that it sometimes is hard to piece the puzzle together.
Well, yeah. Well, you just don't know what you should focus on.
Exactly.
Because you don't want to focus on the wrong thing and then have, like, something else be way more important. So it's like there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of characters. There's a lot of intriguing characters.
There's a lot of intriguing characters. What do you mean? Dennis O'Hare's character, the most interesting character in the freaking hotel we barely get to see.
He'll get his day, I feel like.
He will get his day and we will get his backstory.
Yes. Yes.
But that's the backstory that I want. Now.
Yeah,
I want to know more about the Ten Commandments killer, because we see this time we finally get the, you know, speak no evil, thou shalt not bear false witness, with the nailing of the tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a few of the different commandments thus far, but we still don't really have any insight into, you know, is Sally the killer? Is it not? Is she connected? How does she know this? What? Mm-hmm. So it just raises more and more questions. Mm. Without
answering. What I'm saying.
For every question they answer, they ask 10 more.
Right.
That's
exactly.
What I'm saying. Too much is happening from a little brain to process.
Yeah. I feel like that's our episode.
But that is our episode. Let's jump into news and gossip because Sarah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Sarah here has some interesting things to say.
Hi. So I have, I don't even need my notes really, but
let's talk about it.
I have them. Okay, so for the diehard fans, this isn't going to be news, but so Gaga was seen this week shooting at the murder house.
Whoop, whoop.
That, like, this specific week, and she was visibly, her character, it was in character, she was visibly pregnant when she walked up to the house. She arrived in a cab that, I believe, hold on, I wrote down the year. It was 1926. The California license plate said 1926, which does connect to season one in a way. We don't know exactly how it's going to come into play, but, and Screen Crush was actually the best article I read on it. There was a lot of theories on how she was connected to it and why she was there. But, like, I thought it was funny that she walked in and, like, there was, like, there's a million photos of people. But go to the Screen Crush one because they have the best photos. But basically, if everyone remembers, Lily Rabe's character, you know, in season one was married to a doctor who was basically, you know, giving illegal abortions. And so, you know, there's a lot of theories on why she would be there, but it is interesting that she was pregnant. She was going into the house the same year. And in that same year, that's also the year that she killed her husband, the doctor, and herself. So that might have been his last abortion. That might, something might have to do with that baby. We don't know. Because she does look, a lot of the fans pointed out, she does look very far along, not like, you know, 3 months, something like that. Like, she looks more like 8-9 months along, so I don't really know. But if you should
maybe
go
you guys
look at the
could
photos,
let us know what you think in the comments.
But I thought that was really interesting, and I mean, I'm sure they didn't think that there was going to be like a million photos out of them shooting at the murder house, but there was today.
Secrets out.
Yeah, so it was this week, and you guys can go look at the photos, but I thought that was interesting, and I think that's going to be, I don't know, like, when I saw it, I was like, how do I feel about that coming into play into the story? And I couldn't really, at this point, I can't see how it does, but I'm open to
ideas.
Well,
she, if she was pregnant, she would have to be human at that point. So maybe
which not, we already know that she wasn't.
She wasn't because she said she got turned in what?
1904.
Yeah. So how is she pregnant? Right.
Which is, again, what's with the vampire lore?
The rules.
Right.
We need more rules.
But we do know the connection now has something to do with her, with, you know, the season one house and that whole thing.
Do you have any other news and gossip?
No.
I have something kind of,
please,
not really.
Please tell me.
I already told you guys. I saw Evan Peters and Emma Roberts at a church's concert at the Shrine Auditorium on Saturday.
That's awesome.
And we were going through, I was a couple drinks in, and I was going through the crowd, and Evan Peters.
I guess not even old enough to drink, you guys.
Is he like. Made eye contact, and my face must have been like, because he has his like dark hair, like Mr. March still, and he's so handsome. And Emma Roberts was a little bit ahead of him with like another friend, and I grabbed my friend, and we like went darting towards him, but then he like got lost in the crowd, and I lost my chance.
So you ruined everything for everybody.
I know.
I want you guys, the fans out there, to tweet us, comment. Go back to the episodes. Here's your task. Find the vampire lore that has been mentioned and let us know so we can all start to keep track of
I would love it.
Of what is going on and what we already know about them and what we don't know about them yet as quote-unquote vampires.
Right.
Because it is getting a little confusing.
Based on the vampire facts we know or we're used to knowing.
Exactly. So where can everybody do that?
Oh, well, you can find me on social media at Pegarad.
Uh-huh.
You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, spelled like Alana, because I like to mess with you. And on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
I am on Twitter at Sarah on the Go, Sarah with an H, and on Instagram at SarahBear627.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at You Can Call Me Skiff. That's the letter U, S-K-I-F-F. Before we leave, I do want to do a quick round of predictions.
Ooh.
Pega.
Oh, my gosh. I can't. I don't have any. I don't know.
I think because of what you've said about seeing pregnant Gaga, that will tie into more why she has these deep connection with these kids. Maybe a child situation gone awry, so now she's taking other kids to fill that hole.
Mm.
I love it. I don't have anything.
I'm with you, Elena. that's exactly what I was thinking when I heard that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
That she was, yes, she was pregnant, but the baby inside of her was not alive.
Ooh.
But it was still growing. Because sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Which is the most devastating thing in the entire world.
Well, and that's the note we end on?
And that is the beautiful, sad note that we're going to end on. From everyone here at the AfterBuzz TV Networks, we want to thank you for joining us. And we will see you next week.
Yay!
Ciao.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.